starting at verse 53.
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at a fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We have heard him say, I will destroy this man-made temple, and in 3 days will build another not made by man. Yet even then their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again the high priest asked him, Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, Prophesy. And the guards took him and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entrance. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, This fellow is one of them. Again he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately the cock crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken to him. Before the cock crows twice, you will disown me 3 times. And he broke down and wept.
Thank you, John. Please keep Mark 14 open and let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're not silent, but you speak through your word. We thank you that you speak through your word today. It's a living word. We pray that you might speak to us. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And we pray that your word might do your work for your glory. Amen. When it's December, it's really easy to start a sermon by asking, are you ready for Christmas? And as soon as you do that, everyone instantly thinks of their to-do list and all the things they've got to sort out. It's not quite the same at this time of year to say, are you ready for Easter? Easter is not such a big event in the nation's calendar. It bypasses some people altogether. And even if you do celebrate Easter, the levels of preparation aren't quite the same for most, are they? Do I need to buy someone an Easter egg is about as far as it might get. But this evening, I do want to ask us if we are ready for Easter. Because the death and resurrection of Jesus are absolutely at the centre of our faith. They should be at the centre of all that we are as believers. Are you ready to celebrate the things that are most important, the most important events in history and in our lives? And do you see Easter that way? Are you ready for Easter this year? Well, this passage in Mark 14 is going to help us to get ready. This very famous passage where we find Peter denying that he knows Jesus. It's a passage that most of us know well. We almost know it too well. John started reading, you could hear the cock crowing from the beginning because you know it's coming. But we mustn't miss its message just because it's familiar, because it teaches us something hugely important. how none of us has any hope at all apart from Jesus. None of us has any hope at all apart from Jesus. Now, the way that the passage teaches that point is by showing us a sharp contrast between Peter and Jesus. So the first thing we'll do is we're going to see that contrast, then we're going to look at Peter and his failure, and then we'll see Jesus and his faithfulness. So first of all, we're going to sort of catch the contrast. We're going to catch the contrast. And I want to ask you, do you have a favourite sandwich? What would you say is the world's best sandwich? Many people like a BLT. I think it's completely overrated. Tuna and sweet corn is just about passable. The best sandwich, in my opinion, roast chicken with stuffing. Hard to beat. Why do I mention that? Because Mark loves sandwiches. He loves sandwiches. He loves to make a point in his gospel using a sandwich structure, where one subject is like the filling, and then another subject is the bread that goes on either side, on both sides. And Mark makes his point by getting us to compare like the filling with the bread, if you like. So we've got a classic Mark sandwich in this passage. So look with me, you'll see verse 54. We see Peter in the courtyard of the high priest, sitting warming himself by a fire. And then verses 55 to 65, we switch to Jesus on trial before the Sanhedrin. And then if you look at 66 and 67, we're back with Peter in the courtyard, 67, warming himself by the fire. You can see the sandwich structure. These two events are going on at the same time. And Mark wants us, what he's doing is he wants us to look at one event and then at the other and back again so that we compare the two. And what do we find when we compare them? We find two men on trial. So Jesus, of course, is formally on trial before the Jewish religious authorities. And although not formally, Peter is also on trial. He is being questioned. But there the similarity ends, because, of course, the thing that really strikes us is the contrast, how different they are. We see that the contrast between Jesus' faithfulness and Peter's total failure. We see that in a number of ways. Let's have a look. So first, notice the setting. Again, Jesus officially on trial before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is like the Supreme Court in Israel. He's in front of the highest authority. Peter, he's not really on trial. It's just people standing around asking him some questions. Then think of look at the numbers that they are up against. The Sanhedrin, I discovered, is made up of 71 of the Jewish leadership. And Mark mentions here in verse 53 that that includes the high priest and all the chief priests and elders and teachers of the law all coming together. A great number of people before Jesus. Who is Peter questioned by? Look at verse 66. One of the servant girls of the high priest came by. And there she is again in verse 69. And then we're told about some others standing near in verse 70. Then notice just the level of kind of malice and corruption that is being faced. So Jesus is facing a deliberate conspiracy, isn't he? You see how the Sanhedrin are trying to make a false testimony stick against him. Verse 55, they're looking for evidence against Jesus so they can put him to death. Many testify falsely against him, even though they can't make their statements agree. It's a deliberate plot to get rid of him. What is Peter facing? Someone just asked him a simple question. And then, of course, notice the difference in their responses. In the face of false accusations, what does Jesus do? He doesn't retaliate. He remains silent. When Peter is asked something that is just simply true, he gets hugely defences, even to the extent he ends up calling curses down upon himself. And then ultimately, when they are asked to identify themselves, Jesus speaks the truth of who he is, and Peter denies the truth of whom he knows. The contrast is very striking, isn't it? But why is it there? Well, it's there to teach us a vital lesson that we have no hope at all apart from Jesus. And that's a general lesson that we kind of see many times in the Bible, isn't it? These are Christian basics. I'm sure we're aware of the basic truth. We can't save ourselves. We're completely dependent on Jesus and his death. But our problem is that we keep forgetting that. We keep forgetting the essentials. Or we believe them in theory, but then we forget about them in day-to-day life. And what Mark does here so brilliantly is to teach us this lesson, not only by showing us who Jesus is and what he does, but he draws us into the story of Peter, this one particular disciple. So we're going to look at Peter now. We're going to look at Peter and see your weakness. So look at Peter and see your weakness. Mark really wants us to identify with Peter. And it's easy to do that. Peter is the one of the disciples whom we readily identify with. We kind of like Peter, don't we? And often we feel like Peter. So Peter's was just an ordinary guy. He was one of Jesus' first disciples. He was a fisherman who worked alongside his brother Andrew on Lake Galilee. Remember, they're going about their work one day when suddenly Jesus calls to them from the shore. He says, "Come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." It's an ordinary man whose life is completely turned upside down when Jesus calls him. He's an ordinary guy, but we also like Peter because of his character. Because he's got a big heart, hasn't he? And he's really keen, but a bit clueless. He loves to speak up, but he opens his mouth and tends to get it wrong. So Peter is the first one to recognise that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. But when Jesus